And welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll take a close look at the past, present, and future of the deteriorating Sugarloaf Mound in South St. Louis. Located above the Mississippi near Broadway and Highway 55, it's another relic from the Mississippian civilization that produced the Cahokia Mounds, and it's the last of some 40 tribal mounds that were located in St. Louis. The segment originated with a Curious Lewis question from Kyle Reynolds about the mound and what is happening with it. Curious Lewis is a project from St. Louis Public Radio which allows listeners and readers to ask questions they've always wondered about. Reynolds' interest was sparked because St. Louis is also known as Mound City, and because he wondered why more wasn't being done to preserve the last surviving St. Louis Native American mound. Producer Kelly Moffitt asked Kyle about his interest.
I'm definitely curious as to why it's called Sugarloaf Mound to begin with, I think is definitely interesting to me. The question I wanted to ask is, what is Sugarloaf Mound? What was it used for? And what does the Osage Nation currently plan to do with the property? I think that I had read something about a museum, and I was always kind of curious if there's any way that, you know, we can help to raise awareness of it or even to raise funds for the museum, if there's something sort of like stalling the process or you know, what's going on there.
Can Sugarloaf Mound be saved? Joining me are Andrea Hunter, director of the Osage Nation's Historic Preservation Office. She joins us by phone from Pawhuska, Oklahoma. John Kelly, a senior lecturer in archaeology at Washington University. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
John, let me begin with you, if I may. And what happened to the other 39 mounds in St. Louis?
Well, I think there were more than 39 mounds in St. Louis. Probably what people often refer to, Sugarloaf is the most dominant feature on the landscape within the city today in terms of what was here at one time. The main group of mounds was just north of the arch in the area that they were planning to have the Rams football stadium and complex. And that group of mounds, a little over two dozen, was a town. So it was really the first town or city here in the St. Louis area. And then there was another large mound associated with that, even larger than Sugarloaf. Ironically, the base of that mound was sufficiently large enough that it would have sat on the football field, so some sense of size, and been 40 feet high. And at one time it had a tavern in the 1840s on its summit. But it was an important religious icon. It did have several tombs in it, and unfortunately, even though there were efforts by the city to try and preserve it as a park, that fell by the wayside, and it was hauled off for fill dirt. And unfortunately, the new bridge came in at that point. So I'll let Andrea address the issues there.
All righty. We'll get to that in just a moment. But just to clarify, this is all part of the Mississippian culture,
yes.
that group of Native Americans.
That group of mounds is related to – I mean, you have to think of this as a sort of, in quotes, a metropolitan area for them 1,000 years ago.
Andrea, let's talk about the Osage Nation's interest in all of this. It was the Mississippians, not the Osage tribe, that built these mounds.
Yes, that is correct. It is the Mississippian culture. The Osage Nation has been working on gathering information about our history and where we've been on the landscape, and we trace our roots back to the St. Louis area, and according to our oral traditions and the work that has been done by archaeologists and linguists, we can firmly say that we are descendants of the Mississippian culture. So that's how we place ourselves there, is through our own oral traditions and the scientific research.
And you now actually own the Sugarloaf Mound.
Yes, that's correct. In 2009, we were successful in purchasing the mound for the tribe.
What lies ahead for the mound? Do you know, are there specific plans?
We have been working with some of the experts in the St. Louis area, including Mr. John Kelly, initially to help create a plan for Sugarloaf Mound to protect the mound, to manage it, and put us in the right direction in terms of our future thoughts for the mound. And at the current state, we have been stalled for quite some time in terms of simply generating enough funds to begin the preservation efforts. And that's where we are at this point. Is this spring we intend to start the process of removing the tree, the large vegetation that is on the mound, and doing some preservation efforts in terms of the landscaping. And then this summer, we plan to remove the house and then stabilize that portion of the mound. So folks in the St. Louis area will certainly start seeing some activity at the mound finally after all these years. It took us a while, but we're there now, and we're going to start this process. And we're going to continue with our preservation plan and really at this stage just get it stabilized to remove the damaging structures and natural vegetation that's there and stabilize the landscape. So that's what we'll see this year.
All right. Let me turn it back to John and talk about the actual state of the mound, the deterioration. What sorts of things have to be done?
Well, I mean, I think Dr. Hunter really spelled it out in terms of, trying to get that vegetation off of it. It is literally they've maintained it as best they can up to this point, and it's come to a point where where they have to move to the next stage, and that is getting the tree off.
But it's eroding away from what I understand.
No. Actually, with that vegetation on there, it's holding it in place, but at the same time animals, just as a natural process, are burrowing into it. The vines that were on the south face of it have grown back over, even though they tried to put some fabric over that area so that it wouldn't erode there. So it's not eroding away. It's under the circumstances, it's in sort of a stasis and holding in place until they begin this process that she's talking about, first getting the vegetation off, And then focusing in on the structure that's on the north edge of it.
It's been my understanding, however, that over the years that the nearby quarry and the construction of Highway 55 all helped to damage this property.
The only damage that we know of was when they one of the Osage noted it. It was when they may have put the power lines in there at some point in the past. Cut away part of the south edge of the mound. And so there's a steep face there that they've tried to stabilize. To the south of that, the quarry that you're talking about was quarried away. It, as far as we know, never touched the mound. And then that big hole that must have been there was filled back in. So it's now just a part of the landscape. And the highway never, other than altering the driveway for the person that owned the house, it may have lowered that area around the mound, but that would have been into natural sediments. And I don't know if Dr. Hunter has any other perspective.
Do you, Dr. Hunter?
No, that's the history that we're aware of as well.
What was the purpose, the original purpose of the mound? Do we know for certain? Dr. Hunter?
Well, we have had very little investigations done on the mound. I know Dr. Kelly has spent some time investigating the history of it, but as far as knowing exactly what it was used for, it can only be compared to similar structures that Dr. Kelly has worked with on the east side of the Mississippi River over in the Cahokia area and the East St. Louis area. So we can only do comparisons since there has been no formal excavations at the mound.
John, do you have any further thoughts on that?
Well, we assume that it's a mortuary mound or a burial mound based on work that's been done elsewhere, not only in the region but particularly outside of it, just experiences from archaeologists. An individual mound like that is presumably capping the burial of an individual or other individuals at the base. That's the model that we would use. No one has, to our knowledge, has ever dug into it. I mean, it's a big undertaking, and generally, unless there's a reason, a real reason in particular where something is going to be destroyed and we have no other choice, we generally, out of respect to Native peoples, try and avoid excavation. So we have to quell our curiosity and be patient and let the Osage and other nations take the lead on how they want to handle these kind of situations.
Do you know why it's called Sugarloaf?
What it was a name applied back in the 18th century because they looked like the big loaves, the way in which sugar was transported as a commodity. And so they looked like either big gumdrops or big loaves of sugar. And so they gave the name to three different mounds in the area. I sort of refer to the one on the west side of the river as Sugarloaf West, and then there's one across the river. In fact, you can probably even see it if you look carefully when you're at the Sugarloaf that the Osage own. You can see the one over by Dupo, which also sits up on the bluff. And then there's one to the northeast of Cahokia Mounds that sits up on the bluff as well that the state of Illinois now owns. And so they probably had a pretty good sense of that landscape of being able to look and see these, maybe not quite see them the way we would see them with binoculars or a telescope, but to be able to see them or know where they sit on the landscape.
I have to take a break now. We'll do that and come back and continue the conversation. We're talking about Sugarloaf Mound in South St. Louis and efforts to preserve it. My guest in studio is John Kelly, from whom you just heard, a senior lecturer in archaeology at Washington University. And joining us by phone from Oklahoma is Andrea Hunter, director of the Osage Nation's Historic Preservation Office. Back to continue the discussion. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK, or send us an email to talk@stopublicradio.org. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back to our conversation with Andrea Hunter and John Kelly. Andrea, let me come back to you. Some of the things that we've been hearing about with regard to what might happen after the initial work takes place this spring and summer is that there might be a museum associated with the property and there might be a connection to some sort of trail to various Native American monuments. Are those active proposals?
At the current time, what we're considering is creating an interpretive center in that local area. And we have different plans according to what we're able to acquire in that region right there where the mound is located. There are a couple of other properties, private properties to the north of the lot that the tribe owns, and then further down at the end of Ohio Street is the MoDOT property, which is currently up for sale, and we have been in negotiations with MoDOT trying to purchase that property, but I'm not sure we'll be successful. They're asking quite a bit of money for that piece of property. But what we had intended to do was to create an interpretive center with, you know, however much property that we were able to acquire in that region and try to use that as an educational center for the local community, the St. Louis community, but also for our Osage community. We periodically bring our community members to the St. Louis area to visit the sites that are sacred, sites that are associated with the tribe, and we use it as an educational forum. So this would be something that we would really see as useful if we had a center that we could bring our community members to and really share the experience and the knowledge that we have of that region.
What is budgeted for your project, and where is the money coming from?
Well, that is one of the issues that we have faced in terms of our preservation efforts, is that we only have, through our tribe, just limited amounts of revenue that are being generated that feed into the government. And we have to seek additional sources for projects such as Sugarloaf Mound. And what we have just recently done is worked with our Osage Nation Foundation to set up a fund for Sugarloaf Mound. If folks are interested in helping our efforts, they can contact me, and we are certainly welcoming the St. Louis community to help us in this effort.
Well, we'll put contact information on our website. By the way, we have a tweet from someone identified as Torcho who writes, "I think if you ask the good people of St. Louis, they would support and help financially." So there you go. That's a start, perhaps.
Yes, that sounds great.
Let me move back to John Kelly. I don't want to digress, but one of the things I learned in researching for this program is that apparently there were 14 mounds in Forest Park at one time.
Yes, the mounds in Forest Park were mapped and then excavated. At least we know some of them were excavated. One group was near adjacent to where the art museum was built. And they were removed. They were excavated. There were human remains associated with them. One of the individuals involved in the excavation was a native St. Louisan who had gone on to a career in archaeology. And at the time, I believe he was with Harvard, with the Peabody Museum at Harvard. And then the other mounds were down in the lower area below the art museum where the golf course is. And we don't know, we don't see any evidence that any of them are left.
You know, Andrea, I'd have to say, hearing the stories about all of these mounds that were destroyed one way or another, that not a great deal of respect was shown for them and what they represented. I'm sure you feel the same.
Oh, absolutely. When we learn of our history and gather this information about where we were on the landscape and try to retrace our history and learn about such instances that has happened in the St. Louis area, it's really devastating to hear and to realize that we were associated with a culture, a civilization that created such architecture, beautiful architecture, and to know that the next wave of folks that came into that area just really had no respect for those mounds, whether they really understood what they actually were or not. It just is devastating to us to know that they were totally disregarded and destroyed.
I was surprised there wasn't more of an outcry with all the discussion in St. Louis about building a football stadium on a site that also has strong sacred ties to the Osage people and certainly the Mississippians.
Yes, we were devastated when we heard that proposal as well. We actually went to St. Louis and went to the public meeting for the stadium. We presented the information regarding the stadium and the proposal to our Traditional Cultural Advisors Committee, to the chief of the Osage Nation Congress, and we were successful in getting our Traditional Cultural Advisors to write a letter of opposition to that stadium to the city of St. Louis, to the NFL, to the Rams organization, to the governor of the state. We sent those letters out in opposition, and we were certainly extremely happy when we heard what the NFL had decided.
Yes, so I'm sure you were. Let's get a couple of our listeners into the conversation. We'll start with Lawrence calling from Baden. Lawrence, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Go ahead. Lawrence, are you there?
The first question, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please, but quickly.
Good afternoon. In lieu of disturbing the mound at this or any other time, have you considered using ground-penetrating radar to do a survey of the mound? And then I've got a quick follow-up question.
Let's ask John Kelly.
I'm going to have to defer to Dr. Hunter because I think she was looking into what he's referring to as what we call geophysical techniques. So I think she may have a better response to that question.
Andrea, go ahead.
Yes, a couple of years ago we did do ground-penetrating radar, but the machine that we were using could not penetrate to the depths. We believe that if there are burials there, so what we have done is we are getting ready to buy an additional antenna for our ground-penetrating radar unit to be able to penetrate further into the mound. And we should be doing that before the fall of this year as well.
Has vandalism surfaced in connection with any of these mounds on either side of the river, John?
Over the years, that was one of the problems, particularly in the 19th century and even into the 20th century. I don't personally hear a lot of individuals that are disturbing the mounds. It doesn't mean that they aren't, because they're not going to go out there and advertise it.
Sure.
I would say that I haven't noticed any, and it takes a lot of effort. I think a lot of these individuals that collect artifacts, which is fine, realize there's a lot of labor investment in
sure.
doing this with little return, and it of course is desecration.
Let's bring in another listener into the conversation. Alan joins us from Bridgeton. Go ahead, Alan.
Hunter mentioned that there's a scientific link between the Mississippians and the Osage, but I think their toolkits and pottery are different. So I'm wondering what is that scientific evidence?
Andrea?
Yes, we have been looking at some of the iconography, the cosmology between the Mississippian culture and the Osage. We look at the type of house structures, the mats that are used for the sides and the ceiling, the roof of the structures. We're looking at some of the figurines that have come out of the Mississippian culture and what they depict, which we can see connections between some of our rituals and the objects that we use in our rituals. We see this in some of the rock art that's also in the St. Louis area and associated with the Mississippian culture. We're seeing the sacred objects and images that we use today depicted.
Our time is beginning to get away, but Andrea, let me ask you if the oral histories that you're familiar with give you any indication, solid indication, as to what happened to the Mississippians. They simply disappeared as a culture.
Well, if we're affiliated with the Mississippian culture as well as our other Dagean relatives, we didn't disappear. We're still very much here and thriving.
Well, John, do you have thoughts about that? I mean, that is a mystery in a lot of people's minds.
Well, with the abandonment of Cahokia and what we think of as Mississippian, and you know, people have to remember this is a term that we as archaeologists came up with. Mm-hmm. And like Andrea has so eloquently stated, there and the other Dagean's descendancy from this ancient culture is still very much there. It's not the question that Alan asked. There's about a 300-year gap between the abandonment and then the Europeans coming in and then encountering peoples that had migrated from the western end of Lake Erie into what is now the state of Illinois in the 1600s. So you got a different culture coming in that the French interacted with, whereas as Andrea has said, the Osage were focused in southern Missouri at the time of contact. But they and the other Dagean's are certainly the descendants of this fascinating culture.
less than a minute left. I understand that Sugarloaf is on the National History Registry. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Doesn't that protect it or help with funding?
Well, the only thing that protects it from, and certainly Dr. Hunter can chip in here on that, is regarding any kind of federal impact to it. So if they were to do more with a highway or something like that, or build a HUD project, that would be the type of thing, the type of protection that it would ensure.
Dr. Hunter, you've got 15 seconds to add to that.
Yes, that would be correct. If there were other projects, federally funded projects or permitted, then the National Register status of the mound would come into play, and we would be able to assess those effects in regard to those federal projects.
All right, I've got to stop you there. Our time is up. I want to thank you so much, Andrea Hunter and John Kelly, for being with us. We'll keep us posted on all that happens with regard to Sugarloaf Mound.